The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it. All right, good day, tokers and tokens. And well, let's try that again. Good day, tokers and tokettes. I'm so excited for 420, I can't even talk. It's Friday, Jesus Christ. Let's start this show all over again. Good day, tokers and tokettes. Welcome to the show. It is April 12th, 2013. It's Friday. It's the beginning of Cheech and Chong week. My head is completely blown here. I don't even know where the hell I am or what day it is, but welcome to the show. We're going to have a good one despite my inability to start the show off correctly. Wow, what a day. But I'm just so excited. I got contacted by the people from Cheech and Chong's animated movie. It's premiering April 17th, appearing next Wednesday at the Roxy in Hollywood. And there is a musical soundtrack album to go with it. So starting today, I'm so excited. Here that we are starting Cheech and Chong New Music Week exclusively here on 420 Radio and the Russ Belville Show. At 20 after, we're going to give you the Cheech and Chong Anthem, a brand new tune from Cheech and Chong featuring all sorts of interesting additions within it. It's called Weed Are the World. Not We Are the World, Weed Are the World. And then next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we're going to debut another new song from the Cheech and Chong animated movie musical soundtrack. And it's really cool because, you know, Tommy and Cheech have such broad musical capabilities and styles that there's actually a tune that fits each one of our musical days. So we've got Medical Marijuana Blues. That's coming up on Monday. We've got Smoke a Doobie on Tuesday, kind of an electronic song. We got an Irie song for Wednesday. We got a Groovin' song for Thursday. And of course, the anthem today for Rockin' Friday, which is just a perfect fit for the show. So check that out coming up at 20 after. And big thanks to the people there at Dom Music and Caitlin for getting in touch with us and helping make this possible. All right. On today's show, we've got all sorts of news to get to as well. We have got Jennifer Alexander and Iva Cunningham from A Different View are going to join us. We're going to be reviewing this story coming here out of Oregon about the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program releasing medical marijuana patient records to the federal government upon a subpoena. We'll talk about that with them. Iva runs a clinic and Jen's a strong advocate and journalist here in Portland. So they'll have the down low on that. Also, the DEA director, Michelle Lenhart, testified before Congress today trying to get $2.4 billion in the budget for the DEA. We're going to break that down in the Radical Rant. All that and more coming up on the Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What's happening, funky brothers and soul sisters? This is Big Daddy, and I want you to win a t-shirt courtesy of the Funky Roller Rink at 420radio.org. Just tune into the Funky Roller Rink this week and keep track of all the hip-hop tunes and sample my Funk 3, baby.
Music make you move, 'cause you can dig the groove.
Then, the following week, at the start of the show, just tweet at Funky Roller Rink the results of the hip-hop set list in the order they were played. The first three skaters with the correct set list win some free threads, baby. But you gotta watch the show to win. It's the Sample My Funk t-shirt contest this week on the Funky Roller Rink. Check out the Funky Roller Rink blog on 420radio.org for more info. And as always, keep it funky, keep it funky, keep it funky.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Friday, April 12, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. New bill would protect legal marijuana users from federal law. This from usnews.com. Representative Dana Rohrabacher, Republican of California, is about to introduce a bill that protects marijuana users and business owners from federal prosecution as long as they are in compliance with state laws. The bill would amend the Controlled Substances Act, which makes the sale and use of marijuana illegal under federal law. The Respect State Marijuana Laws Act has five co-sponsors on both the Republican and Democratic side of the aisle, including Representatives Justin Amash, Republican of Michigan, Don Young, Republican of Alaska, Earl Blumenauer, Democrat of Oregon, Steve Cohen, Democrat of Tennessee, and Jared Polis, Democrat of Colorado. If passed, the law would immunize pot users and business owners in the states of Colorado and Washington, which both voted in November to make marijuana legal for people over the age of 21. A poll released by Pew Research Center last week found 60% of Americans think the federal government should not interfere with states where marijuana is legal. Robert DuPont, who was the first director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse and the second White House drug czar, said, quote, "It's hard for me to imagine any state law so clearly in conflict with federal law as the legalization of marijuana in Colorado and Washington. Yet it's 4 months after, and we've still heard nothing." Feds scoop up medical marijuana patient records in Oregon investigation. This from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. Despite Oregon's best efforts to keep medical marijuana patient records private, a federal search warrant forced the state agency to hand over some records, according to recently discovered court records. The warrant was executed in November of last year against the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. The state agency that administers the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act voted into law in 1998. As part of an investigation into growers in Oregon suspected of dealing on the black market, a special agent with the DEA obtained the warrant to aid his investigation. When asked about the warrant and the records taken, officials with the Oregon Public Health Division, which runs the cannabis program, said the agency, quote, "routinely releases records pursuant to a court order," end quote. In October, the U.S. Attorney for Northern California sent a chilling subpoena to the county seeking records that related to that County's unique medical marijuana arrangement growers, reported the East Bay Express newspaper. The subpoena for Mendocino County sought, quote, names and locations of pot gardeners, county bank records, and any and all legal correspondence, etc. The grand jury subpoena stepped all over medical record privacy laws and the attorney-client privilege, lawyers in the case noted, end quote. However, county officials there hired a lawyer and fought the subpoena. Industrial Hemp Development Act introduced in Minnesota from the dailychronic.net. A bill to permit and regulate the cultivation of industrial hemp was introduced to the Minnesota Senate on Thursday. Senate Bill 1590, the Industrial Hemp Development Act, was introduced by Senator Brandon Peterson, a Republican, and Senator Sean R. Nienau, another Republican. The bill has been assigned to the Senate Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development Committee. Missouri hemp bill gets a Senate hearing, awaits further action from the dailychronic.net. Legislation to legalize the licensed cultivation of industrial hemp, Senate Bill 358, has received a hearing and awaits action by the Missouri Senate General Laws Committee. Senate Bill 358, sponsored by Senator Jason Holzman, a Democrat, would exempt industrial hemp, defined as containing less than 1% THC, from the state's Controlled Substances Act and allow anyone not convicted of a drug-related crime to grow it, allowing Missouri to authorize a licensed statewide hemp industry. Ramona couple faces prison for medical marijuana crop, from NBC San Diego. A Ramona couple stands accused of illegally growing pot on their property despite holding county-issued medicinal marijuana cards. At 5:30 in the morning, federal and state narcotics agents with guns drawn raided the home of Dennis and Deborah Little. The 64-year-old suffers from a chronic nerve disorder. His wife, Deborah, 59, is a cancer patient treated for AIDS for the last 20 years. Prosecutors say there is enough evidence to show the couple was breaking the law. Police can arrest people who answer the door smoking marijuana, New Jersey court rules. From NewJersey.com, police officers who are greeted at the door by someone puffing marijuana can force their way in to make an arrest, the state Supreme Court ruled Wednesday. The man who served his 6-year sentence and paroled last year had argued the police trampled his rights under the state constitution and the Fourth Amendment, which protect people from unreasonable search and seizure of their homes. That's your 420 Radio News for Friday, April 12th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a satirical look at the Pew Research poll showing majority support for marijuana legalization, and watch video from Stephen Colbert, who just can't believe it's true. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
To 420radio.org. I get a little fiery.
Hey, sit back, relax, and have a puff or two. 'Cause all we really trying to do is get high with you. That's just how we do. Sit back, relax, and have a puff or two. 'Cause all we really trying to do.
Welcome back, everybody. 14 after the hour, and time for us to go behind the headlines. We reported already on the Pew Research poll that showed for the first time in four decades of polling, majority support nationwide for the legalization of marijuana. 52% of our fellow citizens believe now that marijuana should be treated in a manner similar to alcohol. And one person who just can't believe that, of course, is Stephen Colbert. This is from the Colbert Report last night.
Asteroid might be a blessing of the skies because, folks, we have lost our way as a nation. Polls show that the majority of Americans now support amnesty for illegal immigrants and marriage for the gays. And now we've lost another moral battle.
Well, here's a first. A new Pew poll says most Americans think marijuana should be legal. This is the first time the majority said yes to legalization since Pew started asking this question more than 40 years ago. 52% now support it. 45% say no.
Times, they are changing. Something's blowing in the wind, they say.
Christine Romans, everything is so funny when you're high. Now, it's bad enough, folks. It's bad enough that there's medical marijuana in 18 states, and recreational pot is now legal in both Colorado and Washington. And those two states are planning to turn Idaho into a bong. But now, even worse, people are comparing this potastrophe to another attack on our values.
The majority of Americans are now in favor of legalizing marijuana. A majority are in favor of same-sex marriage.
It's a generational shift. The evolution of this issue of same-sex marriage. Same thing with marijuana legalization.
You hear that? Same thing. Oh, I can't help who I am. I was born attracted to watching 7 hours of Planet Earth while eating a sack of croutons. Yeah. Next thing you know, stoners are going to demand the civil right to marry their Mary Jane. You may now smoke the bride. But why are we giving up? It's not like the war on drugs isn't working. I mean, just look at this animated chart. The blue line shows rates of addiction since 1970. The green line shows how much money we've spent on the war on drugs over the same period. Now, that might look like the war on drugs is a waste, but if you're high, it looks like a mountain with a stream running out of it. And now, politicians are cozying up to big spleef, like pro-legalization Colorado bongressman Jared Polis, who just won re-election and said, quote, marijuana outperformed me by 10 points, so it was a great association for me, marking the first time marijuana improved performance in anything but swimming. Now, sadly, even Republican politicians have started buying the drug culture pushers are selling.
The last two presidents could conceivably have been put in jail for their drug use. And I really think, you know, look what would have happened. It would have ruined their lives. They got lucky, but a lot of poor kids, particularly in the inner city, don't get lucky. They don't have good attorneys, and they go to jail for these things. And I think it's a big mistake.
It's their own damn fault. If those kids wanted to go around breaking laws without consequences, they should have gone into banking. Woo! But nation, there may be some sort of political method to Rand Paul's reefer madness.
Someone like myself, I think, could appeal to young people because many of them do think it's a mistake to put people in jail for marijuana use and throw away the key.
Yeah, kids, what about Rand Paul? I mean, he's pro-pot. And if you get high enough, maybe you'll forget all the reasons you wouldn't vote for him. But folks, even though the Republican Party is desperate for the youth vote, I don't want Republican presidential hopefuls like Marco Rubio suddenly selling out their values just to get in with the cool kids. And it might already be too late, because evidently, he's already got a serious case of cotton mouth.
That's Stephen Colbert from Comedy Central. What a great piece that was. And it's just, you know, further showing how people in America are just have had it with this war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. And I thought I'd bring up some of the data from that Pew Research poll that would just give you a little bit of an idea what we're talking about with respect to the poll. This is the part which showing the government enforcement of marijuana laws as seen not being worth the cost. And the thing that sticks out on this particular data set is that this is two-thirds of Republicans. 67% of Republicans believe that we are wasting our time, that it's not worth the money to be busting people for pot. I don't know how much clearer it has to be. Hey, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we begin our new Cheech and Chong Music Week here on 420 Radio.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The High Times Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam is recognized as the world's premier marijuana competition. Over the years, thousands of judges have attended the Cannabis Cup, sampling the best indicas, best sativas, best hybrids, and the best hash on the planet. In the April 2013 issue of High Times, read all about the sensational 25th Cannabis Cup that took place in November. Find out about the latest killer strains. Decide what to grow in your garden this year. Celebrate 25 years of the Cannabis Cup in this very special issue of High Times magazine. On sale now.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky Roller Ring, Roller Ring, Roller Ring.
Here at the Funky Roller Ring, it's always cool.
They call me cool. More glide, my stride, more dip in my hip.
Oh yeah, yeah, fun, fun.
And I wear a mean dark pair of shades. And you can't see my eyes unless my head is bent. No time, give me five. They call me cool.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, we're excited to get started with this. It's new music from Cheech and Chong, all the next five Russ Belville shows. We start off on Rockin' Friday here, but the 420 weekend is just 1 week away. We can't wait to get there. We'll see you there in Denver. And we've got all this new music from Cheech and Chong to get you ready for the Marijuana High holiday. It all comes from Cheech and Chong's animated movie. It's having its green carpet premiere this Wednesday, April 17th at the Roxy Theater in Hollywood. From there, it screens in limited release April 18th through April 23rd, culminating with the DVD and Blu-ray release of the film on April 23rd. That would be next Tuesday, or two Tuesdays away, excuse me. You'll be able to get that Cheech and Chong's animated movie on DVD or Blu-ray. For more information, you can check out CheechandChongAnimated.com or go to Facebook.com/CheechandChong to find out more. Now, here on the Russ Belville Show, we're going to be debuting five new Cheech and Chong tunes from the Cheech and Chong's animated movie musical soundtrack album. The album was produced by Lou Adler and Dominic Kelly, Eric D. Chambers, Brandon Chambers, and Tommy Sung Paris Chong. Cheech Marin and Tommy Chong have also recorded a special commentary for each track. You'll be able to get a hold of those exclusively through Spotify. Now, the five tracks we've selected demonstrate the breadth of musical styles that Cheech and Tommy are known for, reflecting the diverse audiences that appreciate the music and comedy of the venerable stoner duo. They're a perfect fit for the eclectic selections that make up our Daily Toker Tunes. So today we're going to debut the Cheech and Chong anthem, Weed Are the World. On Roots Monday, we'll have the Medical Marijuana Blues. On Electric Tuesday, we'll have Smoke a Doobie. Irie Wednesday, we'll do Paranoid Pothead. And on Groovin' Thursday, the very simply titled song, Marijuana. Plus, there's going to be a video for this song that we're playing today, The Weed Are the World, the Cheech and Chong anthem. There's a music video debuting on Monday, and it features animated cameos from Kid Cudi, Whoopi Goldberg, Wiz Khalifa, George Lopez, Bill Maher, B-Real, Willie Nelson, and many, many more. Check out CheechandChongAnimated.com for more of this stuff. Here we go, debuting brand new from Cheech and Chong. This is the Cheech and Chong anthem, Weed Are the World.
We bounced into town in a lowrider van. We're on the run from Los Cochinos. They're rounding up all the old hippies and Latinos.
We don't need to make a new dope deal. We go to the doctor where it's all nice and legal. Does your mama know about me? They put me in the slimer, but now I'm free.
We're Cheech and Chong. We're gonna rock it all night long. We all just get up on. We're Cheech.
I'm Cheech.
And Chong.
I'm Chong.
And we're still smoking strong. We're Cheech.
I'm Cheech.
And Chong.
I'm Chong.
We're down to party all night long.
Cheech Chong is my name. Born in East LA. I got Chicano pride. I take the bomber for a ride. So many voices, so many routines. Without stoner comedy. You can't front on me.
We've been recording comedy since 1917. From Big Bamboo to Sleeping Beauty. Try to joke battle me, you're just I will devour. Cause making people laugh is our superpower.
We're Cheech and Chong. We're gonna rock it all night long. We're Cheech and Chong. Can we all just get up on? Smoking strong with Cheech.
I'm Cheech
and Chong.
I'm Chong.
From LA to Hong Kong. Estoy viviendo el gran super sueño. When I spit my rhymes, they taste like jalapenos. Ralph and Herbie chase around the kiddies and they love their business cause they got eight titties.
You better press record cause here's another cult classic. We've been lighting it up since when?
The Jurassic.
Every minute of the day is like 420. Everybody we meet wants to fire up a doobie.
We're Cheech and Chong. We're gonna rock it all night long. We're Cheech and Chong. We all just get up on. We're Cheech.
I'm Cheech.
And Chong.
I'm Chong.
And we're still smoking strong. We're Cheech.
I'm Cheech.
And Chong.
I'm Chong.
Now raise your bong to Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, I watch MTV all the time. They have the Rock Against Drug commercials, that whole campaign. And these guys have, like, you know, slid into fucking school buses and killed 20 children. You know. Rather than face a license, they made a public service announcement. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. I love these guys. That is like, hello, listen, don't get caught with drugs or you'll have to do a commercial just like this one. I think I found the message. The message is don't get caught. Rock Against Drugs. What a fucking name. Somebody was high when they came up with this title, you know? It's like Christians Against Christ. Rock created drugs. What are they talking about? They go together, folks.
Hey, this This is Willie Nelson or Norman. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrest of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORNL.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Half past the hour, and joining us for our activist agenda today, we have Iva Cunningham from our show A Different View, as well as the proprietor of Alternative Medical Choices. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So today, specifically, the reason this story came up, and as soon as I saw it, I just thought, you know, you and Jennifer would just dig right into this. It's that story coming out of Oregon here where the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program has apparently given some patient records to the feds trying to do an investigation. What can you tell us about this? Have you been reading up on this?
A little bit. There's more news to obviously come out, but there was a warrant executed in November of last year to the OMMP program. And requesting, as part of an investigation, ongoing investigation of growers in Oregon, as suspect of dealing to the black market, et cetera. Anyway, so they subpoenaed the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. They turned over the records, which they're obligated to do.
They didn't have a choice to fight it?
Right. I mean, are they gonna? That's the question. Yeah. I'm like, everybody has a choice, but that doesn't mean that they're gonna. But also to remember, you know, so there's been some rumors of, you know, different investigations going on in Southern Oregon, around Oregon for different reasons. This is the first situation I know of where the OMMP program has turned over records in an ongoing investigation.
Do we know what they've turned over? Is it like names and addresses?
I'm sure it's names, addresses, because what they're trying to figure out is, you know, how many patients per grower, and that sort of thing, and if it can, you know, if that goes back to validate the growers' stories and that sort of thing. But to remember, back in November, High Hopes Farm,
right,
which is Southern Oregon, was in November, which is when the
subpoena was out.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
There's no indication that that is actually the farm. I kind of suspect that they're probably going broader than that. And this is just an opportunity for that. We've had a lot of pushback in the state, you know, some other collectives going down. But this is the first time for, you know, they've gone out and they've given these records, turning over patient names, addresses, phone numbers, all that good stuff.
Wow. Okay. So when I brought this story up, I also brought up the fact that there was a subpoena going on in Mendocino County.
Mm-hmm.
Mendocino County, their sheriff's department had the zip tie program where they set it up where normally they had a 25 plant limit, but if you went and got these zip ties, you could have up to 99 plants. And it was a real successful program, of course. All the growers were like, okay.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, really. Well, part of it was they just didn't want the sheriffs trampling on their property,
right,
going after the cartel grows,
right,
and thinking the medical grows were a cartel grow. So they would zip tie each of the plants. They'd have a little number. They'd register with the state. They'd pay, or the county. They'd pay the county, I think it was $25 per tie or something like that.
Right.
It made money for the county. The growers were happy. The sheriffs were happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, the feds, you know, subpoena some records on this. And
the whole house of earth.
But their county hired an attorney out of San Francisco to defend them against the subpoena. I guess the most recent update is that they did release some records, but no names.
No, this is names, numbers, addresses. This is the whole nine yards.
Now,
I mean, they're going after the patient records, which means they're going after the patient's application. Because there's three parts to that: their application, their physician statement, and their medical documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And the application, as you know, has the patient's name, address, and identification, caregiver name, address, phone number, identification, grower, grow site, all that stuff has to be listed on there.
Right.
So they're, you know, just by gathering these, they are you know, casting a wide net.
Yeah. Well, I would like to know how accurate this could really be, or how useful this really could be in any investigation when we know so many patients that because the law forces them to put down a grow site address, put down the sheriff's address, the fucking park.
Well, yeah, you know they do. I mean, there are people who put down their former probation officer, you know, like, yeah, I'll have them go check that place out. I mean, people do some interesting things to their application. I don't advise them doing that, but they do. But I think that this also speaks to the broader issue. If they don't like these big grows, and they don't like the way the patient system is set up, then why not help regulate the growers? Send them and regulate the dispensaries or the safe access places. You know, if you're having a problem with these big grows, then okay, give them some guidelines. If you want them to have under so many plants per grower, grow site, make some regulations so they can do that. Otherwise, you're just, you know, allowing this exploitation to continue. If that, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but that, you know, if that's their perception. So, you know, you guys started charging the growers. Why not offer them, you know, some guidelines?
Well, let's get to that. There's, you know, the big change in the Oregon medical marijuana program as of late has been the doubling of fees from $100 to $200. Mm-hmm. The quintupling of fees if you were poor. Mm-hmm. Was it going from 20 to 100 or something like that?
20 to 100, yeah.
$50 to designate a grower. So we've already had
on
this.
On top of the registration fee.
Right, exactly. And $100 if you have to change anything.
Right.
So these
150 if you add another grower.
Oh wow. Yeah. So all these fees are piling up and having a severe impact. You and I have talked informally about mm-hmm. how a lot of patients just like, you know, screw it, it's not worth it anymore.
Right.
So on top of that, now patients have to fear that if they do come up with the money, mm-hmm. their name could go to the feds in a subpoena.
Right. So I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, when this was first put together, that one of the safety nets that made people feel comfortable is that they just couldn't turn over the patient records. They couldn't just let them invade that privacy without an actual warrant and or subpoena. And they do have an ongoing investigation here. But you and I know that there's been abuse of the program. Mm-hmm. So now that they've opened up their books, so to speak, you know, the patient's information to law enforcement, are we just supposed to assume that they're not going to abuse it when their history and evidence suggests that they have?
Mm-hmm.
That's my concern. It's like, you know, if you have an investigation like this and you're going after one particular person, shouldn't the OMIP program be able to do, through their magic of databases and IT, be able to query just the grower? And any name he pops up on any application or that address, I don't think that's what they're doing here. I think that they are going, this is an opportunity where they have just said, here, take a look at all of us. And I do kind of, and my fear is that this is an audit of the OMIP program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're speaking with Iva Cunningham from Alternative Medical Choices and probably my best friend on the planet. And we're just talking about, you know, how this affects patients. And in one particular local instance where this has been just ridiculous is mm-hmm. with the Human Collective.
This
is a place here in Oregon that mm-hmm. was what we like. I like to call them MWIOs. Money walks in, marijuana walks out. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Patients need to get their medicine.
Right.
And
it's the safest place for them to be.
And now we've got, you know, at this point, a proliferation of somewhere upward of 150, 200 of these places now in Oregon that have no regulation, no oversight. And if anybody was doing it the right way,
it was
Human Collective. Tell us about what's happened with that organization.
Well, I don't know a whole lot because I did meet with Sarah earlier and in fact, just earlier today. And there's only so much that she can tell me, obviously.
Sure.
But she was supposed to turn herself in or accept a plea. Well, she said, I'll turn myself in. She didn't accept the plea. And the plea was child endangerment, manufacturing distribution. And then she couldn't. There was like some money that was put in a patient fund so the patients could get medicine because the way she was set up, they put so much money in and that reimburses mm-hmm. when they come into I didn't quite understand.
Well, this goes with my rant from yesterday on, you know, loaded guns around a kid. That's just an accident. But a pot plant near a kid, that's child endangerment.
And mind you, this was just a very small amount of marijuana. We're talking less than a gram.
And that's the child endangerment?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And just to be clear, she has a three or four-year-old with severe autism and an infant 6 weeks old. Anyway, so there still has not been any charges been brought up against her. She has there, you know, there's all pending and all that good stuff. She's gone to several hearings. Again, there's like, in 90 days, they asked for 90 days to go back and investigate. Nothing's happened. So she's going about 8 months now, I think.
Jeez.
Since this, and nothing's really happened except for just dragging her, you know, through the court system. She did have to live for 21 days with her mother away from her partner, husband, David, you know, which causes stress on and on a child with autism, and of course on her. So that's one point I was trying to make. So nothing's really happened, she kind of feels like maybe this, you know, might be an opportunity for them to investigate her. It's all speculation. Who knows?
But this is all stemming from folks. What we need to make clear is that we're here in Multnomah County, Oregon, which is Portland, and they're in Washington County.
Right. The thing about the Washington County is that it wasn't the department that went after her was Washington County Sheriff's Department, acting on their own. Acting all by themselves. They got no support from anybody else.
DEA, no state cops.
Nope. Because, you know, the Human Collective ran a very good business. They were clean, no paraphernalia. When you walked into the place, it wasn't, there wasn't a lot of memorabilia or pot stuff everywhere. It was very clean. It was the model. It really was the model. And they were known for that. But the Washington County Sheriff's Department, on their own volition, went in and raided them.
Yeah, and to this date, no charges filed.
No charges filed.
Just smash up the business.
And they kept telling them, and the reason why nobody else would involve, because like, no, this is the model. This is the model. This is the one we want. This is the one we want. This is the example.
In fact, didn't she bring some of the legislators through for tours?
Yes. Ellen Rosenblum, I can never remember.
General.
And then, help me out, labor.
Oh, Avakian?
Avakian also went in there. So lots of public outreach, very transparent, kept the doors, you know, open to the public, but very, you know, as far as the medicine, again, very secure, very guarded, cameras everywhere. I mean, but still a very nice place. And, you know, it was funny because the pictures that they took of the raid, they could be used in Home and Gardens. I mean, and so I love that, you know, when, if she does get to court and they have to show the picture, the evidence, she says it'll be really interesting because it's going to blow their minds.
Right.
And she goes, I could have used this for Better Homes and Garden. I could use this for brochures, you know, and she goes, so they saved me a lot of money on that end. But I think she's a very brave woman. You know, Sarah's a hero of mine because she has small children. She's risking an awful lot. She has sacrificed an awful lot. And she's been an excellent, outspoken advocate of this cause. And I wish her the best. I wish her family the best. I know it's been very stressful because they didn't just bring down, the Human Collective. They brought down David's business, too. And he had an agricultural store.
Agriculture supply.
Which had absolutely nothing to do with the other. And they took that, too. And, you know, and then other people that were involved, too. Other people on the board. Other people. I mean, all the patients that were affected. I mean, it goes on and on. The ripple effect is quite large. So I'm wishing Sarah all the best. And I hope that, you know, they safely come through this without losing their children or anything else. But
and of course, the follow-up on this is, for all that time and money that the Washington County Sheriff's Office put in and all the lives that got turned upside down to shut down the Human Collective, it has opened up about 9 blocks north.
In Multnomah County.
In Multnomah County.
Yeah, it's the Human Collective, too, and they've opened up in Multnomah County.
Not the same people.
No. Sarah's not on the board. It's another group of people who believed in the cause and said, you know what, we're going to open up here. We're going to call it the Human Collective, too. And, Sarah isn't on the board or anything like that. So, which is sad because it really was a good club.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to see anybody go down. I don't want to see anybody get arrested. I don't want to see anybody lose their livelihood, especially for the war on drugs. Yep. Because, I was going to say one thing. When one of the things that she was supposed to accept the plea for was that she wasn't supposed to sue for the $35,000.
The civil asset forfeiture.
Right, the civil asset. And because that money was set aside for the patient's risk. It's not my money. It's their money. I have to get that back for them. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't want to give that back. They want to keep that.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I mean when I say everybody's in on the take.
Yeah.
Everybody's in on this take and everybody wants their piece of pie. And even here, you know, the police department wants to, there's the regulation bills of the dispensaries, they want to get their cut of that too. Mm-hmm. They want their cut. And I'm for slice of the pie, but there's a way to do it. And this isn't the way to do it.
Not destroying businesses' lives and stealing.
And taking children. And it is stealing. You know, it really is stealing. It's stealing through the legal system.
Yep.
And it's morally and ethically wrong. If I can't do that to you, why should you be able to do that to me? If I'm paying my taxes, I'm following your guidelines, why should you be able to do that to me?
Folks, check out Alternative Medical Choices, altmedchoices.com on the net, and check us out every Tuesday night here at 8 o'clock Pacific when Iva and Jen continue to bring you these kind of discussions and this kind of thoughtful take on the war on drugs on a different view. ADV420.com for information on that. How's the clinics going? Are patients still coming in? I know you just recently dropped prices to try to help folks.
Well, what I did is I noticed that because once they raised all the prices, patients can't afford it. And so the people that are hurt the most are those that need it the most. So after a few stories of some clinics, I won't say who, taking patients' money and leaving them out to dry, shredding their records, giving them nothing, no protection, nothing. I kind of got pissed. I'm a redhead, and I got a little angry, and I said, screw it. It's $125. You don't need to prove to me that you have special consideration. I don't care. It's $125. Period. And that way I can still keep the doors open, pay the staff, and that sort of thing. But I can still I can't change the state fees, but I can do something.
Yeah.
And that's why we get into this is because we're compelled to do something, take action on some part.
Right.
And if this is the only way that I can do that, then I'm willing to do that.
Check it out, altmedchoices.com. If you're looking to get your Oregon medical marijuana card, $125 for all comers. And you don't have to be an Oregon resident.
No, you don't have to be an Oregon resident. However, we're not going to ship you weed across the border.
Thanks for joining us, Iva. I appreciate you filling in here on the show. And next Tuesday, 8 o'clock, a different view. Any guests coming up or anything we need to know?
Yes, I've got somebody who's going to talk about marijuana and arthritis and anti-inflammatory properties. He's written a book just called that, Marijuana and Arthritis. So.
All right. Check that out coming up this Tuesday, 8 o'clock Pacific time here on 420radio.org. Hey, when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. I've got to talk a little bit. You won't believe this one. The administrator of the DEA is asking for $2.4 billion. I'm going to tear this one apart. Have fun. Be right back.
Because they don't have enough money.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancer, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence in suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects from medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reaction, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairments, appetite increase, and in some U.S. states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
So I'm sitting here, counting stacks of Benjamins while sipping Cristal here at the luxury headquarters of the well-funded drug legalization lobby, when I saw the head of the Drug Employment Agency Michelle, 10,000 dead Mexicans is a signpost of success. Lenhart, giving testimony to Congress regarding the agency's budget request for fiscal year 2014. This is going to be good, I thought. Putting down the Cristal and picking up my diamond-encrusted black onyx bong to pull a few rips of the 2,700-year-old Chinese stash Mr. George Soros so generously bought for us. There's no way I could sit through Lenhart's testimony without a good buzz, let me tell you, because last time, she couldn't tell us whether heroin was more dangerous than marijuana. And when I saw that sober, it made my head hurt. So Lenhart begins her opening statement to the Congress by stating some of the DEA's recent accomplishments. Here goes. The efforts of the DEA and its federal, state, local, and international law enforcement partners are having a real impact. According to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, the nation's largest, longest-running, and most comprehensive survey on drug use, the overall rate of drug use in America has dropped roughly 30% over the past three decades. Wow. I guess citing your statistical improvement from 1979 counts as a recent accomplishment if our frame of reference is the history of the United States. But since the DEA was created in 1971, I should think that recent would have to be at least within this century. So I took a look at those numbers because, you know me, I look shit up. In 2001, 12.6% of Americans surveyed had used an illicit drug in the past year. A decade later, that statistic is 14.9%. So much for recent accomplishments. Lenhart continues.
More recently, since 2006, the number of past month current users of cocaine and methamphetamine have declined 44% and 40% respectively.
Well, all right, 2006 is more recently than 1979, at least we're in this century. And yes, it's true, there are fewer monthly coke and meth users. However, since 2006, more people are using marijuana, more people are using heroin, more people are using ecstasy, and more people are using OxyContin every month. It's like you're squeezing a balloon. You get a little here and it pops out over there.
Lenhart continues. For fiscal year 2014, the DEA requests $2,428,869,000 for its salaries and expenses and diversion control fee accounts. In addition, DEA will receive an estimated $557 million in reimbursable funding from the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force Program, the Asset Forfeiture Fund, the Department of State, and other agencies.
What? Only a measly $2.4 billion for a single year? Gosh, how will the DEA ever combat the efforts of our well-funded drug legalization lobby when they only have 200 times more money than us?
Lenhart continues. DEA will have a total of 10,699 positions available, including 5,303 special agents, including fee-funded and reimbursable positions, and will utilize an estimated 9,639 full-time equivalents in fiscal year 2014.
What? Only a measly 10,000 full-time employees? How will the DEA ever combat the efforts of our well-funded drug legalization lobby with only 100 times more salaried employees?
She continues. The sequester is forcing DEA to make many difficult choices. In this context, DEA has achieved significant savings by mandating that its employees purchase the lowest available fare for all official travel.
Well, hold on. I need another hit of something, or else my head is going to explode like the guy in Scanners. You mean to tell us this hasn't been the policy all along? Oh, yeah, I mean, sure, like, we in the drug legalization lobby, us well-funded drug legalizers, we aren't forced to, you know, scour Southwest.com and HorizonAir.com and sites like Travelocity and Orbitz, you know, desperate to knock off another $20 in coach fare with a two layover red eye flight, traveling with everything in an overstuffed pair of carry-ons because we can't afford the bag check fees. No, not us. No, no, Mr. George Soros lets us all fly nonstop on his private drug legalization jets. The nice thing about the private drug legalization jets is they get the added bonus of not having to take off our shoes, our jacket, our rings, our watch, our hat, our necklace, unpack the laptop, the netbook, the soundboard, the headphone amp, the 6 mic cables, the 2 mics, the 4 AC cables and 2 mic stands into 7 bins for the X-ray while we step through the RAPI scanner at the Theatrical Security Administration line. No, we get to bypass that thanks to Mr. George Soros and our well-funded drug legalization lobby. Aw. Oh. Such a shame they're going to have to find the lowest fare. She continues. DEA has placed a special emphasis on Mexican drug trafficking organizations because they control the smuggling of drugs into the U.S. as well as drug distribution in most U.S. cities, and their influence is growing. Drug-related violence in Mexico continues at high levels as Mexican cartels compete for more control of drug smuggling routes and the transportation corridors along the southwest border. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is Michelle Leonhardt's so-called signpost of success. I wrote about this back when I was writing for The Stash. She had said this in 2010. Let me get back to the quote here. And let's see, here it is. With the appointment of Leonhardt, we can forget about facts and science because she thinks the piled up bodies of Mexican citizens and cops is a success. This is what she said, quote, "Our view is that the violence we have been seeing is a signpost of the success of our very courageous Mexican counterparts are having. The cartels are acting out like caged animals because they are caged animals." Yes. Yes, she thinks that now 12,000 in the past year, and this is a number that has increased every year since 2006. We're just getting more and more signposts of success. 7 years running now, signposts of success that equal tens of thousands of dead Mexicans. In that same report, by the way, back in 2010, I had also noted that the head of the Drug Enforcement Administration spent more than $123,000 to charter a private jet to fly to Bogota, Colombia last fall, instead of taking one of the agency's 106 planes. The DEA has 106 planes, and yet now Leonhardt has to come out and tell the agents and the employees to get the lowest possible fare when they travel. One more thing from Michelle Leonhardt's testimony to the Congressional Committee today for the 2014 budget of $2.4 billion. During fiscal year 2012, DEA denied total revenue of $2.8 billion from drug trafficking and money laundering organizations through asset and drug seizures. This includes nearly $750 million in cash. Between fiscal year 2005 and fiscal year 2012, DEA has denied more than $21.5 billion in revenue from drug trafficking organizations. $5.8 billion of that was cash. $5.8 billion. Gosh. Gosh, Michelle Leonhardt, that's a lot of money. Except when I look at this story from the end of 2012, last year, the Justice Department settled with British mega bank HSBC for $1.9 billion. Okay, so the $750 million you seized last year was less than half of just a fine that this bank had to pay to drop charges that they were laundering money for Mexican drug cartels and terrorist organizations. And excuse me for the redundancy. Here's the quote from the story. Quote, "Between 2006 and 2009, according to the Department of Justice, HSBC failed to monitor $670 billion in wire transfers." Let me say that again. $670 billion in wire transfers. Two-thirds of $1 trillion. And you want us to applaud because you managed to scoop up $5.8 billion of that in cash, huh? Woohoo! In fact, HSBC also failed to monitor $9.4 billion in cash transactions. That's 2009 to 2006 there. That's a 3-year period. And you're trumpeting the fact between 2005 and 2012 you got $5.8 billion in cash? Whoopie ding dong! And not a single banker faced a criminal charge or trial, despite having been caught doing this sort of thing before and warned before. And in fact, the bankers got to keep most of their bonuses. I was wrong. That 2,700-year-old weed George Soros bought me isn't helping. This woman still makes my head hurt. Hey, that's all the time we got here for Hour 1, but stay tuned with us for Toker Talk Radio. Hour 2, we got Craig, we got Brian the Red showing up here in the studio. We're going to have ourselves a good time. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you giant.